made. 40. Connor.
I'm here. Roland calls from outside the FedEx jet. What do you want?
Connor remains hidden inside the hold. He knows he's only going to get one chance at this, so he's got to do it right.
Come inside and we'll talk about it.
No, you come out.
Nice try, Connor thinks, but this is going to be on my terms. If you don't come in, I'll tell everyone what I know. I'll show everyone what I found.
Silence for a moment. Then he sees Roland's silhouette as he climbs into the hold.
Connor has the advantage now. His eyes have adjusted to the dim light of the hold, and Roland's have not. He leaps forward and firmly plants the muzzle of the Admiral's gun against Roland's back.
Don't move.
Instinctively, Roland's hands go up, as if he's been in this position many times before.
Is this your deal?
Shut up. Connor uses one hand to frisk him, finds the concealed knife, and hurls it out of the cargo hold. Satisfied, he pushes the gun harder against Roland.
Move. Where am I supposed to go?
You know where to go. Crate 2933.
Move.
Roland begins to walk forward, squeezing between the narrow rows of crates. Connor is conscious of every movement of Roland's body. Even with a gun to his back, Roland is arrogant and sure of himself.
You don't want to kill me?
He says.
Everyone here likes me. If you do anything to me, they'll tear you apart.
They reach crate 2933.
Get in, Connor says.
That's when Roland makes his move. He spins, knocks Connor back, and grabs for the gun. Connor expected this. He holds the gun out of reach, and using the crate behind him for leverage, places his foot firmly in Roland's gut and pushes him back. Roland falls backward into crate 2933. The second he does, Connor lurches forward, slams the hatch, and seals it. While Roland rages inside, Connor takes aim at the crate and fires the gun once, twice, three times. The blasts echo, blending with the terrified screams from within the crate, and then Roland shouts,
"What are you doing? Are you insane?"
Connor's shots have been very precise. They were low and directed at a corner of the crate.
I've given you something your victims never had, Connor tells him. I've given you air holes.
Then he sits down. Now we talk. 41. Mob. Half a mile away, a search party returns from the desert. They didn't find Emby. Instead, they found five unmarked graves behind a distant outcropping of rocks. In a few short minutes, word spreads through the ranks like flames in a steady wind. The Goldens have been found, and apparently they weren't so golden after all. Someone suggests that the Admiral did it himself. The suggestion becomes a rumor, and the rumor quickly becomes accepted as fact. The Admiral killed his own. He's everything Roland says he is. And hey, where is Roland? He's missing too? So is Connor. What has the Admiral done to them? A mob of unwinds with 100 reasons to be angry have all simultaneously found one more, and that's all it takes to push them over the edge. The mob storms toward the Admiral's jet, picking up more and more kids along the way. 42. Risa. A few minutes earlier, Risa had responded to the Admiral's request and showed up at his jet with some aspirin. She was greeted by the Admiral, who, as she had told Connor, didn't even know her name. Now he chats with her, telling her that the experience she's getting here is better than what anyone her age gets in the outside world. She tells him of her thoughts of becoming an army medic, and he seems pleased. He complains of shoulder pain and asks her for the aspirin. She gives it to him, but just to be on the safe side, she checks his blood pressure, and he applauds her for being so thorough. There's some sort of commotion outside that makes it hard for her to focus on taking the Admiral's blood pressure. Commotion is not unusual here. Whatever it is, Risa suspects it will end with bandages and ice packs for someone. Her work is never done. 43. Mob. Furious kids begin to arrive at the Admiral's jet.
Get him! Get him! Pull him out!
They climb the steel steps. The hatch is open, but just a crack. Risa looks out at the wave of mayhem, like a human tsunami pounding toward her.
He's got a girl in there with him!
The first of the kids reaches the top of the stairs and heaves the hatch open, only to be met by Risa and a brutal punch to the jaw. It sends him tumbling over the side and to the ground, but there's more where he came from.
Don't let her close that door!
The second kid is met by an aerosol burst of Bactine right to his eyes. The pain is excruciating. He stumbles backward into the other kids coming up the stairs, and they tumble like dominoes. Risa grabs the hatch, swings it closed, and seals it from the inside. Kids are on the wings now, finding every piece of loose metal and prying it up. It's amazing how much of a plane can be shredded by bare-handed fury.
Break the windows! Pull them out!
Kids on the ground throw rocks that hit their comrades as often as they hit the jet. On the inside, it sounds like a hailstorm. The Admiral blanches at the scene outside the windows. His heart races. His shoulder and arm ache.
How did this happen? How did I let this happen?
The barrage of stones batters the fuselage, but nothing breaks the armored steel. Nothing cracks the bulletproof glass of the former Air Force One. Then someone tears out the power line connecting the jet to its generator. The lights go out, the air conditioning shuts down, and the entire jet quickly begins to bake in the broiling sun. 44. Connor.
You murdered Amp, Jeeves, and the rest of the Goldens. You're crazy!
Connor sits outside Crate 2933, wiping his brow in the heat. Roland's voice comes from inside, muffled, but loud enough to hear.
You got rid of them so you could take their place, Connor says. I swear when I get out of here I'll...
You'll what? You'll kill me like you killed them? Like you killed Emby? No response from Roland. I said I'd make you a deal, says Connor, and I will. If you confess, I'll make sure the Admiral spares your life. In response, Roland suggests Connor perform a physical impossibility. Confess, Roland. It's the only way I'm letting you out of there. Connor is sure that, if put under enough pressure, Roland will confess to what he's done. The Admiral needs evidence, and what better evidence than a full confession?
I have nothing to confess to!
Fine, says Connor. I can wait. I have all day. 45. Mob. The fortress of the Admiral's jet is impenetrable. The temperature inside is soaring past 100. Risa's handling the heat, but the Admiral doesn't look too good. She still can't open the door because the mob is relentlessly trying to get in. Outside, whatever kids aren't swarming over the Admiral's jet are spreading out. If they can't get to the Admiral, then they'll destroy everything else. The study jets, the dormitory jets, even the recreation jet. Everything is being torn apart, and whatever can burn is set aflame. They are filled with an insatiable fury, and beneath it is a strange joy that the anger can finally be released. And beneath the joy is more fury. From halfway across the graveyard, Cleaver sees the smoke rising in the distance, beckoning him. Cleaver is drawn to mayhem. He must be a witness to it. He gets into his helicopter and flies toward the angry mob. He sets down as close to the chaos as he dares to get. Have his deeds in any way led to this? He hopes so. He turns off the engine, letting the blades slow so he can hear the wonderful sounds of havoc. Then the angry unwinds turn toward him.
It's Cleaver! He works for the Admiral!
Suddenly, Cleaver is the center of attention. He can't help but feel this is a good thing. 46. Connor. Roland is slowly breaking. He confesses to many things, petty acts of vandalism and theft, that Connor couldn't care less about. But this is going to work. It has to work. Connor has no other plan to bring him to justice. It has to work.
I've done a lot of things, Roland tells him through the three bullet holes in the crate. But I never killed anybody.
Connor just listens. He barely speaks to him anymore. Connor finds the less he speaks, the more Roland does.
How do you know they're even dead?
Because I buried them, me and the Admiral.
Then you did it,
says Roland.
You did it, and you're trying to make me take the blame.
Now Connor begins to see the flaw in his plan. If he lets Roland out without a confession, then he's a dead man. But he can't keep him in there forever.
His options are now narrower than the spaces between the crates. Then a voice calls to them from outside.
Is anyone there? Connor? Roland? Anybody?
It's Hayden.
Help!
Screams Roland at the top of his lungs.
Help! He's crazy! Come in here and let me out!
But his screams don't make it out of the hold. Connor gets up and makes his way to the entrance. Hayden looks up at him. He's not his usual cool self, and there's a nasty bruise on his forehead, like he was hit by something.
Thank God! Connor, you gotta get back there! It's nuts! You've gotta stop it! They'll listen to you!
What are you talking about?
The Admiral killed the Goldens, and then everyone thought he'd killed you!
The Admiral didn't kill anybody.
Well, try telling them that!
Them who?
Everybody! They're tearing the place apart!
Connor sees the far-off smoke, and he takes a quick glance back into the hold, deciding that, for the moment, Roland can wait. He hops down to the ground and races off with Hayden.
Tell me everything, from the beginning.
When Connor arrives at the scene, his mind keeps trying to reject what his eyes are telling him. He stares, part of him hoping the vision will go away. It's like the aftermath of some natural disaster. Broken bits of metal, glass, and wood are everywhere. Pages torn from books flutter past smashed electronics. Bonfires burn and kids hurl in more wreckage to feed the flames.
My God.
There's a group of jeering kids near the helicopter, gathered like a rugby scrum, kicking something in the center. Then Connor realizes it's not some thing, it's someone. He races in, pulling the kids apart. The kids who know Connor immediately back off, and the others follow suit. The man on the ground is battered and bloody. It's Cleaver. Connor kneels down and props up his head.
It's okay. You're going to be okay.
But even as he says it, Connor knows it's not true. He's been beaten to a pulp. Cleaver grimaces, his mouth bloody. Then Connor realizes that it isn't a grimace at all. It's a smile.
Chaos, man,
Cleaver says weakly.
Chaos. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Connor doesn't know what to say to this. The man's delirious. He has to be.
It's okay, Cleaver says. This is an okay way to die. Better than suffocating, right?
Connor can only stare at him.
What? What did you say?
No one but Connor and the Admiral knew about the suffocations. Connor, the Admiral, and the one who did it.
You killed the Goldens! Hugh and Roland!
Roland, says Cleaver.
In spite of his pain, he actually seems insulted.
Roland's not one of us. He doesn't even know.
Cleaver catches the look on Connor's face and begins to laugh. Then the laugh becomes a rattle that resolves into a long, slow exhale. The grin never entirely leaves his face. His eyes stay open, but there's nothing in them. Just like his victim, Amp.
Oh, crap, he's dead, isn't he?
Says Hayden.
They killed him! Holy crap, they killed him!
Connor leaves the dead pilot in the dust and storms toward the Admiral's plane. He passes the infirmary along the way. Everything's been torn out of there as well.
Risa, where's Risa?
There are still kids all over the Admiral's jet. The tires have been slashed. Wing flaps lean at jagged angles, like broken feathers. The entire jet lists to one side.
Stop it! Screams Connor. Stop it now!
What are you doing? What have you done?
He reaches up to the wing, grabs a kid's ankle, and pulls him off onto the ground. But he can't do that to every single one of them. So he grabs a metal pole and smashes it against the wing over and over, the sound ringing out like a church bell, until their attention turns his way.
Look at you!
He screams.
You've destroyed everything! How could you have done this? You should all be unwound! Every single one of you! You should all be unwound!
It stops everyone. The kids on the wings, the kids at the bonfires. The shock of hearing such words from one of their own snaps them back to sanity. The shock of hearing his own words, and knowing that he meant them, frightens Connor almost as much as the scene before him. The rolling staircase leading to the Admiral's jet has fallen on its side.
Over here, says Connor. Help me with this.
A dozen kids, their fury spent, come running obediently. Together they right the stairs, and Connor climbs up to the hatch. He peers in the window. Connor can't see much. The Admiral's there on the floor, but he's not moving. If the Admiral can't get to the door, they'll never be able to get in. Wait, is that someone else in there with him? Suddenly a lever is thrown on the inside, and the hatch begins to swing open. The heat hits him instantly, a blast furnace of heat, and the face at the door is so red and puffy it takes a moment for him to realize who it is.
Risa?
She coughs and almost collapses into his arms, but manages to keep herself up.
I'm okay,
she says.
I'm okay, but the Admiral...
Together they go in and kneel beside him. He's breathing, but it's shallow and strained.
It's the heat, says Connor,
and orders the kids lingering at the door to swing open every hatch.
It's not just the heat, says Risa. Look at his lips. They're cyanotic, and his pressure is down to nothing.
Connor just stares at her, not comprehending.
He's having a heart attack. I've been giving him CPR, but I'm not a doctor. There's only so much I can do.
My fault, says the Admiral. My fault.
Shh, says Connor. You're going to be okay.
But Connor knows, just as he knew when he said it to Cleaver, the chances of that are slim. They carry the Admiral down the stairs, and as they do, the kids waiting outside back away, making room for him, as if it's already a coffin they're carrying. They set him down in the shade of the wing. Then kids around them begin to murmur.
He killed the Goldens, someone says. The old man deserves what he gets.
Connor boils, but he's gotten much better at keeping his anger in check.
Cleaver did it,
Connor says forcefully enough for everyone to hear. That starts a murmur through the crowd until someone says,
Yeah? Well, what about Emby?
The Admiral's hand flutters up.
My son.
Emby's his son?
Says one kid, and the rumor begins to spread through the crowd. Whatever the Admiral meant, it's lost now in incoherence as he slips in and out of consciousness.
If we don't get him to a hospital, he'll die, says Risa,
giving him chest compressions once more. Connor looks around, but the closest thing to a car on the graveyard is the golf cart.
There's the helicopter, says Hayden, but considering the fact that the pilot's dead, I think we're screwed.
Risa looks at Connor. He doesn't need to read Risa for Morons to know what she's thinking. The pilot is dead, but Cleaver was training another one.
I know what to do, says Connor. I'll take care of it.
Connor stands up and looks around him. The smoke-stained faces, the smoldering bonfires. After today, nothing will be the same.
Hayden, he says, you're in charge. Get everything under control.
You're kidding me, right? Connor leaves Hayden to grapple with authority and finds three of the largest kids in his field of vision.
You, and you, Connor says. I need you to come with me to the FedEx jet.
The three kids step forward and Connor leads the way to Crate 2399 and Roland. This, Connor knows, will not be an easy conversation. 47. First Year Residence. In her 6 months working in the emergency room, the young doctor has seen enough strange things to fill her own medical school textbook. But this is the first time someone has crash-landed a helicopter in the hospital parking lot. She races out with a team of nurses, orderlies, and other doctors. It's a small private craft, 4-seater maybe. It's in one piece, and its blades are still spinning. It missed hitting a parked car by half a yard. Someone's losing their flying license. Two kids get out, carrying an older man in bad shape. There's already a gurney rolling out to meet them.
We have a rooftop helipad, you know. He didn't think he'd be able to land on it, says the girl.
When the doctor looks at the pilot, still sitting behind the controls, she realizes that losing his license is not an issue. The kid at the controls can't be any older than 17. She hurries to the old man. A stethoscope brings barely a sound from his chest cavity. Turning to the medical staff around her, she says,
Stabilize him and prep him for transplant.
Then she turns back to the kids.
You're lucky you landed at a hospital with a heart bank, or we'd end up having to medevac him across town.
Then the man's hand rises from the gurney. He grabs her sleeve, tugging with more strength than a man in his condition should have.
"No transplant," he says.
"No, don't do this to me," thinks the doctor. The orderlies hesitate. "Sir, it's a routine operation." "He doesn't want a transplant," says the boy. "You brought him in.